Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO Public Affairs. My guest is Matthew Charles Cardinale, who joins us by phone. Welcome, Matthew.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Let me tell people that Matthew Charles Cardinale is a Portland-based housing advocate who presented the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners with a draft ordinance for affordable housing impact statements at their board meeting last month. And he has a history of working on housing and working on affordable housing impact statements. Matthew, can you give us a little bit more about your background, especially as how it relates to the issue of affordable housing?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I've actually been working on affordable housing issues and homelessness issues really for about 20 years, going back to when I was a teenager, and I'll be turning 35 next week. In my 20s, I did such things as, organized protests to save specific trailer parks and the like, and have been moving into a direction of understanding housing as a public policy issue. And I'm currently a law student. I'm actually going to be a visiting student at Lewis and Clark in the fall. I'm a third-year student. And I created this model ordinance called Affordable Housing Impact Statements to address some of the issues that I've been seeing being a recurring issue. And I actually lived in Atlanta for several years. And one of the catalysts for this was we were seeing a pattern of funding, scarce federal funding and other funding for affordable housing units being used in such a way that they're not actually helping us meet our greatest unmet need, which is to house families making $15,000 and less per year, or even $10,000 and less per year. And if you define affordability in a way that is like 80% of the area median income, then you can say, oh, look at all the units that we're producing, but they're not actually getting us anywhere, because those people do have other options on the market, although fewer and fewer. It's getting that ridiculous. But the impact statements was really a way to understand any public policy decision made by city or county, what is the benefit, what is the harm, and to really bring it back to our housing stock, because every jurisdiction has a housing stock, and every jurisdiction has a citizenry and a population, and but that has incomes, and then you have a mismatch between the two. So every jurisdiction has an unmet need that can be quantified, and this impact statement says every time we're going to use county dollars, city dollars, make a zoning change, make a land use change, make a policy change. One thing Multnomah County's been doing is taking their surplus property and allocating it to nonprofits to use for affordable housing. I just read in the Oregonian this morning, if you saw the Oregonian, they're looking at, the city of Portland is looking at infill changes to try to allow some kind of medium-sized housing in single-family areas. So all these things that we're doing, let's understand what the benefit is in a quantified way, because at the bottom, at the end of the day, we have an unmet need that we need to fill.
Right, and you've kind of answered this question, but maybe I'll just ask it straight out so that we have a clear understanding of what an affordable housing impact statement is.
Yes. Well, many of your listeners will be familiar with this impact statement process in the context of environmental impact statements, and really came out of NEPA, the National Environment Policy Act of 1970, which required that any decisions that would have an impact on the environment would have to have a statement. And so there's a very complicated process of, preparing these statements and a public engagement process that I should say is only as good as there are advocates willing to use the process. And with affordable housing impact statements, it's really the same idea, that there would be a statement that would be produced, and it would say how many housing units would be added or subtracted from our housing stock as a result of a decision. So if it's a land use change that that we expect will lead to a demolition of something affordable, then we need a statement that says how many units are going to be lost, and then the units that are coming, are they going to be market rate? Because a lot of the focus on dealing with our affordable housing challenge has been on trying to keep up with demand by building new things. And in reality, we actually have a large affordable housing stock that we need to hold on to every unit that we have. So, you know, we need to keep track of every addition, every subtraction. And that's what this is really about.
We do have a caller, and I'm going to put that caller on the air in just 1 minute. I did want to also clarify something else that you referred to in your first statement.
Okay.
Do you clarify for me what is your standard of what qualifies as affordable?
That's a great question. So there are basically income brackets that are centered around the median income. And, you know, in Portland, if you're talking about somebody making $15,000 or less per year, that's often described as 30% of the area median income, or you'll hear 30% AMI. There has been a tendency to kind of move up the echelon of affordability toward 50% AMI, 80% AMI. Now, Multnomah County just did a good thing. They just passed $3.3 million that we expect will go towards either 50% AMI or 30, and they're targeting at-risk of homelessness. But if we define affordability such that it's almost at the median or sometimes over the median, then the people who are benefiting from those subsidies or those initiatives are people making maybe $35,000. That would be around 80% of the AMI. It's getting to the point where those people need help too, but that's not where the greatest unmet need is. I mean, these aren't the people who are about to have a heart attack because they don't know how to pay their rent. And, so we want to make sure CDBG is very scarce. That's, a city source of funding, the Community Development Block Grant, and Congress has been cutting it. So I understand why jurisdictions want to say, oh, well, we want to produce as many units as possible, and if we define affordability this way, we can say, oh, look at how many units we produced, and there was such a small amount of subsidy per unit. But it's actually not helping, helping us meet the great unmet need that we have in Multnomah County.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have tens of thousands. I mean, I don't know if people really understand that we have tens of thousands of families in Multnomah County subsisting at $10,000 and less per year.
And where are they housed now?
They are, they are either homeless or they are housing cost burdens, which means they're paying more money than they should pay toward housing, or they're in our remaining neighborhoods that have affordable housing, market rate affordable housing. But, with the gentrification that's going on, we need to be concerned about losing that too. So as development occurs in neighborhoods, we need to be very proactive about making sure that that people can stay in their neighborhoods, and that people have other options that are coming, that are being included in the new development. Whatever the answer is, whatever a community wants to do as a solution to this problem, the Affordable Housing Impact Statement is a way to really just say, well, okay, if we do this, how many units are we getting and at what income brackets? And why do we believe that? So we can compare, well, if we do A, we're going to get this. If we do B, we're only going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to have a conversation. It's a way to say, because decision makers love to say how much they care about affordable housing, but let's make sure they understand the consequences of their decisions at the time that they're making them.
I'm speaking with Matthew Charles Cardinale. We're talking about affordable housing impact statements and his proposing of them in various localities, including the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners. I mentioned that we had a caller, but that caller did not want to go on the air. Their question, though, I think Sam, who's on the board, may be able to articulate it better than I. Sam, do you want to give us that question?
Sure. Good morning, Matthew. Thank you for joining us today. The caller wanted to know, with planning laws and zoning and the policies at the metro level, how does your proposal differ from and or fit in among those the existing legislation and policies and regulations?
Basically, we have zoning and land use at many levels, and the affordable housing impact statements can be can help us understand the impact of zoning and land use changes, as well as there's been some conversation about proposals that come in administratively, because a lot of the changes may not involve a land use change. It may be a building permit or some kind of something that is approved administratively. We want to cover that too. And so what we've been looking at is, city issues are more about multifamily and also single family. The Multnomah County, though, they still have some unincorporated areas where there's more rural issues, more rural zones, and there's different kinds of issues, but I still think we should be keeping track of that, because if you allow development, there can be an indirect effect where the cost of surrounding properties go up. And not so much for Multnomah, perhaps, but for other counties, you have a history of something called exclusionary zoning, which is where you have lot size requirements, acreage requirements, setback requirements that make it hard for someone who maybe could only afford something much smaller to live outside of our urban areas. I think that there could be really, use for this at every level of government, and then even if we bring in other counties in the metro area, that would be fabulous. And we're all, there's even efforts where people are working together. So with the county, Multnomah County right now, working with the city of Portland and the city of Gresham, there's even some overlap, of some things. So the more that there can be use of this by multiple jurisdictions, we can understand, if Multnomah County adopts something, $3 million was just adopted for affordable housing, some of that may end up benefiting the city of Portland. Some of it may end up benefiting outside the city of Portland. So it's kind of like, the Multnomah County is giving a little gift to Portland, and probably vice versa. So there's probably some intergovernmental benefits that we could have.
What was the reaction of the commissioners when you proposed this? What are they doing about it?
Well, I have used the public comment process at Multnomah County, which is, a 3-minute general comment, and I've been laying this out in probably about 8 or 9 3-minute comments. In addition, I've been meeting with a couple individuals in Chair Kafori's staff, and they've been fabulous. They've been interested. They've been doing their own research. And so that's been great. Also, there's been conversation with Commissioner Nick Fish in the city of Portland. That's been going on for some time. I presented my proposal to Multnomah County kind of to coincide with the recent publication of an article in the Stanford Social Innovation Review. I was like, let's strike while the iron's hot. And I was like, if you think this is a good idea, this is an actual and an actionable format for you to look at. And of course, public comment, they usually don't respond to public comment, but I've been getting some encouraging comments here and there, and I think they've been very receptive, very welcoming. People should people should really know that some of the wonderful citizen involvement opportunities that are available in Multnomah County.
And talk about the places where affordable housing impact statements have been developed. You say that the cities of Austin and San Diego have had an affordable housing impact statement policy for several years. What has happened there? How has that worked for them?
Yes, so they've had a couple different versions, and I researched those as I put together the model bill. What makes the model bill unique is kind of that quantitative scorecard that we talked about that brings it back to numbers of units in the housing stock. Austin's is a little bit interesting because they have a county manager with veto power. And so if the county manager doesn't like what the impact statement reveals, they can actually veto things, which is pretty remarkable. But I actually spoke with their someone in their administration, and what basically they're saying is that even though it's just information, it's just kind of a procedural piece, it nudges and incentivizes the proponents of these proposals, whether it's a legislator or a developer, to come up with better proposals, because they know that people are going to be looking at this issue. So they really feel that even though it's just process, there are substantive benefits. And the other cities, I'm actually flying out to New Orleans next week. The city council approved a motion for their planning department to study this, and I will be meeting with their planning department. Also, Dr. DeWanda Farmer, who's on our board of directors, one of the nation's few PhDs in community development, will also be coming out there. And Los Angeles, I just learned, also has a pending motion from Councilman Paul Koretz. And then Albany, New York, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania are two other cities where the legislation is pending. So this all kind of took off really quickly. And what I did was I co-founded a nonprofit entity that I would like to share with your listeners. And that is, we're calling it Smart Alec. And many of your listeners may know about ALEC, which was the American Legislative Exchange Council, a right-wing Koch brothers corporate-funded entity that creates model legislation for that gets picked up in right-wing legislatures. So voter ID, drug testing of food stamp recipients, privatization of prisons and schools, all came out of ALEC. And with the really rapid success of this housing ordinance that I did, I kind of said, well, this is kind of like a progressive ALEC, and wouldn't it be funny if I called it Smart ALEC? So Smart ALEC is a nonprofit in the state of Oregon. We are we have bylaws. We are a real entity. It's smartalec.org, and we're actually looking to have a presence at the state capitol next year. And we want to kind of take back lobbying as a positive word, and lobby for not only affordable housing, but also environmental issues, and really try to do this thing that, you know, ALEC has been doing so successfully, which is, you know, come up with model ordinances and other types of bills for replication. And frankly, the urgency of our housing issues, the urgency of our environmental challenges, I think require that we do this. I mean, it's great to continue to experiment, and cities are experimenting, and that's great. But let's not experiment forever. Let's take some of the best stuff and what is that? Control V, Control C, you know, copy and paste.
Right. And I wanted to ask you just a question about how many of us that live in the city of Portland are experiencing the building of housing all around us in our communities, say in the community or around KBOO here. I mean, we see it go up. We don't have very much seemingly to do with it. It just seems to be controlled by the developers. How would this kind of ordinance impact that massive boom that we're seeing?
Yes. Well, it is number one, a conversation tool. It's a tool to bring the impact and the bottom line into every conversation. So Portland is very fortunate to have a lot of great advocacy groups and people who are very fired up about this issue. And when various policies come up, so, I mean, you're talking about building going up, some of those are land use. Some of those have to be approved, you know, by a governmental body. And people should be showing up and saying, well, this impact statement says if you approve this, you know, there will be a negative impact, so don't approve it. The city of Portland is considering inclusionary zoning and a number of other things. Of course, the legislature just, created some enabling legislation for that, and there's going to have to be some conversation of exactly how that looks. All kinds of proposals that are going, people are kind of like, grasping for whatever they can grasp, and it's a good thing because people understand that this is an emergency. But let's understand the comparative benefits of all of these proposals in a consistent way. And if we do care, then this gives us a way to propose whatever it is that we think, and maybe it's rent control. People are fired up about rent control. I was actually there the day that they went down to Multnomah County, and arguably that would be one of the most effective things that we could do to stabilize the cost of housing. So, there's that. And this is not, like, again, an informational tool. The other benefit of it is it creates a long-term tool for us to hold our elected officials accountable. Okay, well, you're running for election, re-election, and, you're saying all these platitudes, but according to the impact statement binder, which is kept in the clerk's office, you made the following 12 decisions that were harmful, despite the fact that we advised you that they would be. So it is an accountability tool, and that's really the other benefit of it, is that it will allow us to really have a conversation around election time.
What are your next steps with this?
Well, so with Smart Alec, that's smartalec.org. And our SMART actually stands for State and Municipal Action for Results Today. So the Facebook is facebook.com, state.municipal.action. And that's because some dude took Smart Alec. So that's the Facebook. We would love for people to, sign up for that kind of stuff. I guess what I should say is if someone would be interested in doing that, they could go to our website. They could join our Facebook. But we want to build a national board of directors and a national membership. We want low-income participation. We actually have a mandate for diversity and low-income participation, at least one-third of our members. And we're very serious about that. And we want people who care so much about affordable housing and the environment to be part of coming up with the next model ordinance. So affordable housing impact statements is the first. And what will be the next? We want your help in having that conversation. And we want really ordinary people to take back their city councils and county commissions. We have I'm not encouraging anything, but we do happen to have a GoFundMe. We're trying to raise $100,000 to support getting this adopted in 10 cities. And we would love to just have like a bus that we could take people to Salem when they debate things that might be coming up around housing, including no-cause evictions, which might be an issue that comes up. So I think there's a lot of things, a lot of public policy debates that if people just understood the where do they need to show up and when and what's really at stake, you know, I think people might channel some of that energy into some meaningful change.
And again, for how to contact you, how to connect with your group, Smart Alec, or these movements to get ordinances for affordable housing impact statements?
Yeah, so it's kind of all going through the nonprofit. So that's smartalec.org, and the Alec is A-L-E-C, smartalec.org. And the Facebook is, it's a Smart Alec on Facebook, but the literal, we literally had to get facebook.com/state.municipal.action. And between those two, people can definitely help us as we go up against Goliath.
Okay. We have 30 seconds. Anything you want to add, Matthew?
Oh, well, just, you know, it's been a pleasure coming on. And I happened to move here 6 months ago. And I'm going to just continue to be reaching out to you. I have a list of affordable housing advocates. So if you haven't heard from me, please don't be offended, and you'll probably hear from me soon.
Okay. Well, Matthew Charles Cardinale, thanks for coming on and talking about this on KBOO.
Oh, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure.
And again, Matthew Charles Cardinale is a Portland-based housing advocate who presented the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners with a draft ordinance for affordable housing impact statements. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO Public Affairs. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with Chris Andre coming right up.